My suggestion for a new Christianity. When we say Christianity, we should say Judeo-Christian, for there are two separate, and very different religions, one of the New, and another of the Old Testament. The reason for this can be traced back to Josephus, Titus, and the many Jewish revolts of the first century, but to explain this would require a whole new essay. Within the Old Testament we have a dogma for the ruling class, the chosen people, and with the added Christian message we produce meek, and friendly servants. Thus Abraham our father, peace be with him, is the father of his pious posterity who keep his ways, and the father of his disciples and of all proselytes who adopt Judaism. Rambam's letter to Obadiah the convert. Judaism is not a race of Semites, but a religion of converts which permits anyone interested in being chosen, to simply convert. Over the years these two contrasting dogmas, have produced a sort of genetic selection mechanism, collecting traits of dominant personalities all into one religion, and the more servile into another. Excellent for the master-slave economy we have always had. Judaism is the religion of the chosen people, chosen to be the mediators and mercenaries between power and servitude. Christianity on the other hand is the religion of the meek. If you don't want to be a master over others, or a slave to your master, the following suggestion for a religion may suit you. Thomas Jefferson, in the Jefferson Bible, omits the Old Testament. For a new nation that seeks equal justice, the religion of the chosen people is contradictory. In order to have a belief that matches our Western values of equality and justice, as well as to make each of us closer to God, I suggest even further simplification, with only two keys, or principles, and a trinity. The first key, free will. In nature there is nothing contingent, but all things have been determined from the necessity of the divine nature to exist and produce an effect in a certain way. Baruch Spinoza. The first key to escaping our absurd existence, is to change our faulty concept of free will. I will not explain why a reasonable person should see reality as deterministic, but if you think you have free will, you can study the neurology and physics which has proven the deterministic nature of reality. If we accept that all actions are causal and deterministic, we cannot blame others for their transgressions, and therefore, if we are reasonable, we have no choice but to forgive others when they harm us. This will put an end to sin and convert the confessional into therapy. Instead of a sense of vengeance against others who harm us, we can study the causal factors that produce the transgression, then engineer circumstances so that unfortunate acts will not recur, over and over again. If reality is deterministic, can we change what tomorrow will bring? I think changes in awareness, in the fundamental way we see reality, will change how we attend to future events. With a spiritual movement that has two radical and fundamental changes to our current Christian belief, and then through an ecclesia which is a direct democracy, society would fundamentally change. This is an economic and political solution that requires a religion which is not based on faith, but on truth. Repairing the human condition can be done through the ability to forgive, by converting the idea of an eye for an eye to one of engineering solutions. If we believe that existence is deterministic, then there is no sin, and we no longer need a priest to forgive our transgressions. The solution for what we had called sinful and evil is to fix the problem, and we are certainly clever enough to do that. If we see the soul as our means to comprehend God's intentions, allowing us to align ourselves with God, then consider the Platonic Christian perspective of a God beyond human understanding, where intelligence is a divine emanation, representing the truth of goodness and the soul path to God. Our capacity to reason is viewed as the means by which we uncover truth, with the development of our soul contingent on this quest for truth. Through our soul and the pursuit of truth, we achieve freedom. According to this view, the ideal community described by Christ depends on our ability to nurture our souls and to know and comprehend God, which the Platonists refer to as intelligence. Religion, in this context, becomes a personal quest to transcend worldly desires, aiming for cognitive and reasoned existence. A society, democracy, or economy cannot be humane or harmonious when its members are seen as mere instinct-driven beings, lacking in soul and engaging in base sexual competition. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. 2. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. 1 Peter 4. The second key, sexual competition. The second key to improving the human condition lies in acknowledging the role of sexual competition in our evolution, and as the nature of our enslavement. As animals, our progress is shaped by the need to compete for reproductive success, driving us to survive and adapt. This struggle for sexual dominance not only motivates our evolution but also shapes the fabric of civilization. Language is one such product of this evolutionary process, with civilizations developing language first, leading to the emergence of more complex concepts, with new words created for them. These concepts are intricately linked to the evolution of language, with words like computer only emerging once a civilization has advanced enough to create such technology. Our understanding of existence and reality is deeply intertwined with language, which itself is rooted in the dynamics of sexual competition. A deterministic reality that is driven by sexual competition clearly points to a history of enslavement to our desire and circumstance. Life is a deterministic chain of events that enslaves us. This must be recognized before we can seek freedom. Human biology will not change, we will remain sexually motivated. What can change is an awareness of the fact, and with that a recognition of the absurdity. This awareness will force us to see love as an infinite pity instead of the sexual motivation it is. This will give us a deep concern for the tragic plight of the other, and the impulse to engineer methods to prevent future tragedy. In order to build a society that is functional, we first need individuals who understand these two key principles, that reality is deterministic, and is driven by sexual motivation. Then with individuals who seek the truth, and are reasonable, it would then be possible to build a political/economic framework that would produce a democracy that is direct and transparent. To achieve this change, we need a religion that incorporates these two principles, and preaches a belief and law based on them. Let us consider the church, democracy, and what a new belief may look like. A republic is not a democracy, simply electing officials will not produce the ideas we would hope for. A church or ecclesia, is the word for the principal assembly of the Greek democracy, where the elect come to govern the kingdom of God. This may work well where a small group of individuals directly choose what they will do collectively, but in larger communities elected officials can, and will be corrupted. An ecclesia governed by reasonable individuals that understand that reality is deterministic, and driven by sexual dominance, would better recognize the issues in society, and correct the situation. It is fundamental to our current belief that we are all sinners. If there is one thing sinners do, it is hide their sins, and we know that corruption, or crimes do not fare well when caught in the act. We know criminals and corruption are made dysfunctional by transparency, therefore a transparent economic system is essential. Simply make the church transparent, involved in day-to-day commerce, and directly governed by reasonable well-educated people. With an online open, transparent, direct democratic framework, we would eliminate the church and steeple, and permit these individuals to build a political and economic reality providing greater freedom and equality for its adherents. That would deal with both the church and the economy. No longer would anyone need to give money to their church, for that matter no need for taxes to the state, as this church would be the primary economic institution within a community. This church could provide education, infrastructure, and social services. The words of Christ are similar to those offered by Socrates, with the added belief that it comes from God's incarnation. If the words of Socrates are enough to get him killed, the words of Christ are far more dangerous to those in power. When power comes from the subjugation of a population, a plan to set people free could be misinterpreted by the status quo. This concept I propose should not have any opposition. It is not communism, and can only exist within a free market economy. It does not take over governments, as it is basically a small business which is run by its employees for the benefit of its employees. Furthermore, this community, with the exception of a few principles, is free to believe whatever it wants. While seemingly simple and straightforward, with just two principles and a trinity, this concept is actually quite radical. If God is the unknown cause, it suggests that human behavior cannot be explained by free will, rather, it is either influenced by God or the absence of God. Although the origin or creator of everything is unknowable, we can grasp a few aspects with some certainty. However, as Wittgenstein would argue, there are limits to what we can speak about seriously. The second principle highlights our sexual motivations, revealing that we are often enslaved by our desires. Greater awareness of this fact will lead to greater freedom. Please let me restate the principles of this congregation. I suggest a very simple sort of neo-Christianity, with only two key principles, and a trinity. 1. There is no free will, therefore we must forgive all transgressors. 2. We are driven by sexual dominance, which is the cause of your enslavement. Once you know this, how can you take seriously the many motivations produced? The Trinity is described as follows. First, the One or God is the first part of the Trinity. God is unknowable, therefore, by this definition no more can be said. Second, this aspect of the Trinity is Christ, the Word, or Logos, can be found anywhere, and is discovered by being truthful. Third, the soul is the aspect within us, which through our reason permits us to apprehend the Logos, and gain some glimpse of God. Although God is unknowable, the Logos permits us to know some aspects of God, through which our lives are enriched. Nothing more. If we can know Christ, the Logos, then we will function correctly, and therefore the Church functions correctly.